नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम। चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 40। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल। यमदूत उचुहु वेद प्रणिहितो यमदूता उचुहु वेद प्रणिहितो धर्मो हि अधर्मस्तद् विपर्ययः वेदो नारायणः साक्षा स्वयंभूरिति सुश्रुमा। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Yamadutas replied, "That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj." Purport. The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had heard from the authority Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gatah sapantaha. One should follow the Mahajan, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of the 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, "Sushrama, we have heard." The members of modern civilization manufacture defective religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmah projitap kaitavatra, dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Srimad Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat Dharma is sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him, and whatever He says, that is dharma. Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight. But Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he is actually adharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, "Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo." The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, "Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvataha tektva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna." One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, one who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayan. As stated in the Vedas, "Asya mahato bhutasya nivasitam yad yad rigvedah iti." The injunctions of dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayan, the supreme living entity. Narayan exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayan, also exist eternally. Srila Madhvacharya, the original acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, "Vedanam prathamo vakta harir iva yatho vibhu." अतो विष्णु आत्मका वेदा इति आहुर वेदवादिनः. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principle is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not a member of manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedyo. Om agya. Veda pranahito dharma hi adharmas tad viparyaya. Vedo narayanaha sakshad swayambhur iti sushruma. The Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles. And the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. So, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear very interesting discussion between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. This is not to decide who is right and who is wrong, because both belong to the party of Lord Vishnu. The Yamadutas are representing Lord Yamaraj, who is one of the Mahajans. But Vishnudutas are directly representing Lord Vishnu. Therefore, the words of Yamadutas, they actually quote Lord Narayan. They establish their duties based upon the principles of Lord Narayan. So therefore, to judge from our point of view who is right and who is wrong, it's beyond our understanding. But because it has been given by the Acharyas, we can understand. Just like one time Srila Prabhupada, after meeting his god brother, they were speaking in Bengali, and one devotee, he heard their discussion. They were speaking in Bengali, he did not understand Bengali. And then when he came to Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, what were you discussing with your god brother? And Prabhupada said, if I tell you, you'll faint. You'll not understand, you'll faint. So not that he needed to know the language. He had to come to their level to understand the concept what they were speaking. So similarly, Yamadutas, they are not wrong in coming to Ajamil, because from the apparent point of view, Ajamil's activities naturally attracts the attention of Yamadutas for very severe punishment. So therefore they came to perform their duties. They are representing the whole cosmic order of the Lord. And then Vishnudutas come and they completely bewilder the Yamadutas. So therefore, the conflict between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas is the conflict of not right or wrong. It is the conflict of justice and mercy. Yamadutas represent the cosmic order of karma and vikarma, the actions and reactions. But here, Lord Narayana's representatives, the Vishnudutas, they represent much higher principle. We see, as Prabhupada explains, especially in India, when people talk about the principle of karma, akarma and vikarma, it confuses. In fact, because of this karma principle, which people try to understand by their logic and intelligence, people have become atheistic, they have become agnostic. They don't accept the supreme authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they create their own philosophy. They conclude that God is really cruel, that you perform some sinful activities in some lifetime and you are punished in some other lifetime. Doesn't make any sense for them. So when one cannot understand the principle of karma and vikarma, how is it possible to understand the principle of mercy? That is much higher and deeper. Karma, the principle of karma, when we carefully understand through the words of the acharyas and the devotees, it is very precise. It shows and establishes the precise order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the management of the universal affair. Very precise order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The principle of karma. And then, to understand that, one has to break one's brain. After so much discussion, we see sometimes devotees discuss for many, many years, trying to understand this principle of karma. But still they cannot understand anything. And what to speak of understanding the principle of mercy? Because the karma principle represents, like one devotee was explaining, that reaction for what we perform, the principle of karma is like a cosmic mirror. When we see in our mirror, it reflects our form. And depending upon what you act, the mirror also reflects like that. You smile, the mirror smiles. You make an ugly face, you get the reflection from the mirror. Very precise. It is not delayed also. Instantly you can see like that. So similarly, the karma principle is a cosmic mirror. You perform certain action and there is immediate, instantly there is a reaction. And that instant reaction is from Krishna's instant calculation. For us it may appear that why the reaction is not coming? Why good people are suffering and bad people are enjoying? The time factor, which is the universal time factor, is much different from our understanding. So therefore, when we cannot understand the principle of karma, where is the question of understanding the principle of the mercy? Therefore, these two conflict, the conflict between Yamaraj, this representative, the Yamadutas, and the representative of Lord Narayan, is not they are right and these are wrong. Both are right. Yamadutas present the apparent right when we see from good and bad point of view. But here Vishnudutas are coming to represent the heart of the Lord. So therefore the Vaishnava principles, they talk about the compassionate aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like in the seventh canto we discuss, the discussion begins by Parikshit Maharaj asking that question, why apparently Krishna appears to be partial to the demigods and is taking side of the demigods, and without any reason is despising, he's against the demons. Why it is so? That was the question raised by Parikshit Maharaj when Lord Vishnu, he killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Shukadeva Goswami explains this in few verses. And then Parikshit Maharaj noted that Lord Vishnu, to take the side of the demigods, he killed Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So therefore, in the beginning of the seventh canto, Parikshit Maharaj raised this question. He said, I have doubt. He said, Viparaya. He said, I cannot understand why Krishna is doing like that. And Shukadeva Goswami explained very systematically about Krishna's doing. And then he quotes history. He said, same thing in the assembly of your grandfather Yudhishthira Maharaj, this question was raised by Yudhishthira Maharaj. But exactly opposite question. What was the question raised by Yudhishthira Maharaj? He saw Shishupal blaspheming Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, and Yudhishthira Maharaj said, Arabhya Kala Bhashanad, that this Shishupal, even from his early childhood, when he was born, when he started speaking, what did he speak? The first word he spoke was the blasphemy of the Lord. That he was culturing demonic nature from his early childhood. Just like our Ananta Prabhu, when he was born, from the hospital, he was brought to Radha Govinda's altar in New York. Very special. You are out of the hospital and at the feet of Radha Govinda. But Shishupal was out of the maternity house and blaspheming Krishna. And he continued to do that till he was killed by Lord Krishna. And what do you expect? That Yudhishthira Maharaj is expecting, of course, because he's son of Yamaraj, right and wrong, very much absorbed in that. So when he saw Shishupal being killed, he quoted history also. He said, Vena, when he was killed by the Brahmanas, he went to hellish planet. And this person was more demonic than Vena. He was supposed to go to eternal hell. But the most wonderful thing is that he has attained mukti, he has attained liberation. This is causing great confusion to me. So one, Parikshit Maharaj is asking question based upon what? Based upon Krishna should be equal to everyone. He should give proper justice. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is also asking the same thing. But in that question, there is hidden understanding of Krishna being unreasonably merciful. Lord Krishna was unreasonably, causelessly merciful to Shishupal. Therefore, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrit, when Narad Muni met Arjun and he started glorifying the Pandavas, he said, you are the greatest of the devotees. What is your greatness? Lord Krishna is personally, Arjun is riding your chariot. He is holding the reins. And you are ordering him, go here, go there. He is acting as your servant. In the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj explains, glorifying the Pandavas, glorifying Lord Krishna, he says, the Lord was willing to stand in Virasan. Virasan is the position, is stood by the guard. When the guard is guarding the door of a king or some big landlord, he has to stand in a Virasan holding a sword in one hand. Hanumanji, we see Hanumanji's position, he's always sitting in that Virasan position, always wanting to protect his master. So Parikshit Maharaj says, the Lord Krishna was guarding in a Virasan position. He was acting as a postal peon, taking the message of Yudhishthira Maharaj in the assembly of the Asat Sabha, Duryodhan and party. And Lord Krishna in the Rajasuya Yajna, not only was massaging, washing the feet of all the guests who were coming, but he was also volunteering to take all the leftover plates. This is explained by Shripad Madhvacharya. Not only Krishna was washing the feet of the guests, those who were coming to the Raja's sacrifice, that means he also washed the feet of Shishupal. Everybody who came there, Lord was doing that service. And after they being served prasad, Krishna was personally lifting all their plates. So Narad Muni is glorifying Arjun. Just see your greatness. And what does Arjuna say? He said, what is our greatness? It is Krishna's greatness. What makes me mad is about Krishna's character. Arjuna says that what makes me really insane out of affection for the Lord is that Krishna's causeless mercy. He said, I cannot understand it. So therefore, that was Yudhishthira Maharaj's question. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, why Krishna is not equal to everyone? And Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, why Krishna is so magnanimous to Shishupal? So therefore, here Yamaraj, the representative of Yamadutta, they are asking this question to Vishnudut. Because Yamaraj's representative only represent the order of good and bad. If you do bad, then you go to Yamaraj's abode and they give punishment. And if you perform good, Yamaraj sends them to the heavenly planets. But here Vishnudutas are coming and they are offering much beyond good and bad. They are not offering heavenly planets to Ajamil. And they are not supporting Yamadutas to punish Ajamil. Rather, they are releasing Ajamil from the clutches of Yamadutas. And they are causelessly supporting Ajamil to go back to the Vaikuntha planet. Therefore, naturally, that would give rise to doubt in the heart of the Yamadutas. And therefore, the whole Vaishnava principle, the Vaishnava religion teaches, it talks about two kinds of disposition. The disposition of the Lord and the disposition of the devotee. We read from the very beginning, from the first canto up until the 10th canto, which talks about the highest devotion of the gopis of Vrindavan. What is their attitude? What is their disposition? The disposition of the gopis. And even Bhishma, who represents Shantaras, and the gopis represent Madhuryaras. What is their disposition? They say that we are not qualified. We are not qualified to attain Krishna's mercy. Our hope is that we are expecting Krishna to bestow his causeless mercy upon us. And what is the disposition of the Lord to the devotees? The Lord's disposition towards his devotees is that he is willing to bestow his mercy, unlimited mercy. We read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Draupadi was calling for Krishna, she called out, "Hey Dwarkadish, you come and save me." Now it is not that the Lord was taking, okay, she is calling me, I have to go. It was not based upon the duty. Rupa Goswami explains that when Draupadi called for Krishna, Krishna was obliged. He didn't take it as, okay, I am the protector, I am going there to save her. He didn't come with that mood. He was thinking that I am obliged to Draupadi. She is calling my name. I am sold out to her billions of times. That was the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on the other hand, the devotee's mood is, like Prabhupada explains in that Ishopanishad prayer, "Oh my dear Lord, please remember what I have done to you. Many lifetimes I perform. Now please deliver me from the clutches of material existence." And Prabhupada says, this is not very good prayers, that you present your whole list. Just see all my good activities. That is not right kind of prayers. So therefore, when we understand the principle of karma properly, then we can also understand the principle of mercy properly. How Krishna is always bestowing his causeless mercy in the form of his devotees, in the form of his deities, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of his holy dham. So unless we appreciate this one, we can't appreciate Krishna. One has to appreciate this principle, and then only one can appreciate the principle of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one has no appreciation to Tadiya, the paraphernalia which is connected to Krishna, one cannot develop appreciation to Krishna. And what to speak of doings of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Akrur was called upon by Kamsa saying that you go and fetch Krishna to Mathura. He made it very clear why he wanted Krishna to come to Mathura. He wanted to kill Krishna. And Kamsa told it very clearly, "That is my plan. He is son of Vasudev, raised by Nanda Maharaj. I was cheated by Vasudev. Therefore, I want to kill Krishna, I want to kill Vasudeva, I want to kill my father." Kamsa told it very clearly. "And you go to Vrindavan and take this new chariot." Kamsa was thinking, Akrura, because, you know, he likes to ride on new chariot, so he'll be tempted to go to Mathura, to Vrindavan, to fetch Krishna, because new car, I will drive new vehicle. So he was trying to tempt. But that was not the mood of Akrura. When he heard that I have to go and fetch Krishna, he became excited. And the acharyas explain, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when he got that news, I have to go and fetch Krishna, that night Akrura did not sleep. And that was the night of Ekadashi. Whole night, he kept on thinking about Krishna. He glorified Krishna. So the anticipation is the first principle. When we come to know about Krishna, when we are given the facilities, the process of Krishna consciousness, this is how you can attain Krishna. There has to be anticipation, there has to be eagerness. And that is the first qualification one has to exhibit to see Krishna. And second, Akrura exhibited humility. Very beautiful verses are spoken by Akrura. He says, what is my qualification? What austerities I have performed? Kim tapta tapaha. I have not performed any austerities. What charity I have offered? I have not offered any charity. My position of able to see Krishna is just like a drowning man in a flowing river. What is the guarantee of such a person coming to the shore? There is no guarantee. He will never come. But I have given that facility. So condemning himself and approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that brings your chariot closer to Krishna. As Prabhupada explained, that Akrura rode on the chariot even without breaking the Ekadashi Paran. He didn't break the fast. Because of the anticipation, he rided on the chariot and he started going towards Vrindavan. But the greater chariot was the chariot of the mind, Manoratha. First was anticipation, second was humility, and third was seeing even Kamsa as the cause of him seeing Krishna. He saw Kamsa as a favorable item to see Krishna. He says, because of Kamsa's mercy, actually the verse says, Kamsa anugrahat, I'm able to see Krishna. So nothing is against for us to see Krishna. Everything is favorable to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the third reason how Akrura could come closer to Krishna. And the fourth one, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he had that confidence. The process was given, and then that process gave him that confidence that I will see Krishna. I will see Krishna and Krishna will embrace me. Even though I belong to enemy camp, Akrura was the minister of Kamsa. Just imagine that he is working against Krishna and is going to Krishna to bring to Krishna to Kamsa so that Kamsa can kill him. He was doing abominable activity. Apparently on a physical platform, he was acting as a demon, as a non-devotee. But what does Akrura say? He says, Krishna understands my heart. He knows my heart, just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gadadhar Pandit was entertaining one person who was not favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Lord Chaitanya blasted him left and right, Vallabha Bhatt. He called him as a prostitute, very heavy, and all other devotees avoided. If Mahaprabhu is doing that to Vallabha Bhatt, nobody dare come close to Vallabha Bhatt. Asat Sangha, avoid non-Vaishnava association. But this Vallabha Bhatt would go forcefully to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit was very mild. He could not say, okay, you cannot come close to me. You have been rejected by Lord Chaitanya. How can you come and talk to me? He could not say that because he was very mild in nature. And Vallabha Bhatt would come and speak his compilation, his composition of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit was hearing it carefully. And all the devotees would come and chastise Gadadhar Pandit. He said, hey, what are you doing? Mahaprabhu has rejected him. Mahaprabhu has called him as prostitute. He did not even want to hear what Vallabha Bhatt had written. And you are giving oral reception to what he has written. They started condemning Gadadhar Pandit. And what does Gadadhar Pandit say? He says, Lord Chaitanya understands my heart. I don't want to do it. But he's forcing me to hear. And Gadadhar Pandit was not the one who could say, you know, you don't come to my association. He could not say that. It was not his nature. So he mentions that Lord Chaitanya understands my heart. And Mahaprabhu apparently avoided Gadadhar Pandit for a few days. And then eventually sends Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, you go and call Gadadhar Pandit. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami came, and Swarup Damodar Goswami said, my dear Gadadhar, he said, Lord Chaitanya is playing with you. He was trying to make you angry. Why you didn't become angry with Lord Chaitanya? And Gadadhar Pandit starts crying. He said, how can I ever think like that? He said, I can never think of becoming angry with my Lord. However he deals with me, I have to accept it. And that is the disposition of a devotee. Here, Lord is wrong. Krishna is wrong. Lord Chaitanya is wrong. But still, Gadadhar Pandit is saying, but still he is right. So, here we see that Akrur, all other Yadavas, Vrishnis, Bhojas, they ran away. They would not stay with Kamsa. In fact, he's the only one who is a devotee of Krishna, but still working for Kamsa. And is going to Vrindavan to fetch Krishna, to kill Krishna. But still, he says, Krishna knows my heart. And therefore, I have the full confidence when I go to Vrindavan, Krishna will greet me very nicely. He will embrace me. He will take me inside his house. He will offer me all the paraphernalia which is meant for the guest. That was the conviction in the heart of Akrur. And sometime a practicing devotee, even while practicing devotional service, is apparently going through all the process of devotional life. He understands, reads the Shastra, how Krishna is causelessly merciful, but still he will ask the question, why Krishna does like this? We have no confidence. We don't have that confidence that Krishna will actually embrace us. Still the doubt is there. But Akrur was beyond that doubt. And then the next thing is, because of that confidence, he was having the desire to act upon that, to render devotional service. Therefore, bhakti involves engaging our senses in the service of the Lord. It is not a question of imagination. One may have the highest understanding of the scripture, but unless one engages one's senses in the service of the Lord, one cannot come closer to Krishna. And Akrur was willing to do that. And therefore, when he came to Vrindavan, what did he see? He didn't see Krishna. He saw the dust of Vrindavan. And the dust of Vrindavan gave rise to Krishna consciousness in Arjun. It gave rise to Krishna's experience to Arjun. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of Mayava Mana Dastva Mayi Buddhi Niveshaya in the 12th chapter. He says, a devotee of the Lord is on a transcendental platform from very beginning of devotional service. Seeing Krishna and the aspiration to see Krishna, they are non-different for a devotee. So therefore, when Akrur saw the dust of Vrindavan, he immediately fell flat. He rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. And again, the acharyas explain, rolling in the dust of Vrindavan is not simple. It is not simply a kind of bodily activity. Even to do that, Akrur had to give up three things. First thing Akrur gave up to roll in the dust of Vrindavan, he gave up the fear of Kamsa. He gave up the principle of position, Dambha. He gave up the pride. I am the minister. I come from this big family, the family of the Vrishnis. Srila Prabhupada, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he gave up that pride and he was willing to roll in the dust. And second, he gave up the fear. What is the fear? The fear of, what if I roll in the dust of Vrindavan? I work for Kamsa. What Kamsa will think? He will harass me. He didn't care for that. This is the dust of Vrindavan. And this is the dust which has been touched by Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, I have to roll in this dust. So the fear was given up by Akrura. And third thing is that he gave up the future difficulties caused by Kamsa to his family members. He may harass his wife, he may harass his children, he may harass his family members, He gave up that lamentation. Only when one gives up the pride, fear and lamentation, then one can roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And when Akrura did that, then he saw Krishna. It's all gradual progression. How did he see Krishna? He saw Krishna in his most magnanimous situation. He didn't see Krishna's greatness as Supreme Lord Narayan. That is, even to see that form is great good fortune. But he saw the greatness of Krishna in his sweetness. Sukadeva Goswami explains, Dadarsha Ramam Krishnam cha Braje Godohanam Gatav. That Akrura saw Krishna and Balaram taking their cows in the pasturing grounds, covered with the dust of Vrindavan. So that was the complete manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then what did he see? After seeing Krishna and Balaram like that, he also had the experience of the embrace of Krishna and Balaram. And then his mission was fulfilled to bring back Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura, making them sit on the chariot. So therefore this chariot festival, the Rath Yatra festival, is the gradual progression of a practicing devotee. That meeting Krishna, like all the Brajbasis, they met Krishna and they didn't curse Krishna. They didn't say anything wrong to Krishna. When Krishna came to touch the feet of the Brajbasis, saying that I am the criminal, that I played around with all of you, they said, no, it's not your fault. It is our fault that we are holding our breath. In your separation, we are still living. That shows that we have no love for you. They conquered Krishna by having this disposition. And therefore, they could make Krishna sit on the chariot and pull the Rath cart back to Vrindavan. So therefore, the aspiring devotee, the practicing devotee, when we understand this principle, when we don't question the principle of karma, especially when it affects our life, and when we don't question the principle of causeless mercy, when it affects somebody else's life, when Krishna is giving us our quota of our karma, we should be thankful. And when Krishna bestows his causeless mercy, when Guru bestows his causeless mercy to somebody else, both the time when we don't question, then we have the right. Then we actually experience the dust of Vrindavan, the deity of Krishna, the holy name of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then beyond and above that, then we actually experience the sweetness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Oh, in that I had made this one point, that how the Yamadutas had indeed made a mistake in wrongly trying to punish Ajamil. So Ganga Prabhu had asked me this question, that actually he told that actually they are not wrong, but they had just come to do their duty. But in the next chapter, we see in the second chapter, from text 2 to 4 is entirely the chastisement of the Vishnudutas to the Yamdutas for being bad leaders. They are wrong. And the whole purport, Srila Prabhupada writes about who are bad leaders. Hmm. And in that, Prabhupada writes also a statement that how the Yamdutas, despite Ajamil being sinless, they were insisting on taking him to Yamaraj, which is adharma. In the purport he writes also. So you said that, you made a statement that the Vishnudutas are not wrong. And the purport and the shloka say just the opposite. So how do we resolve this?
So therefore we see even in this verse, Prabhupada explains the clarity of the... They spoke with great clarity, the Yamadutas. Now when we say right or wrong, from their point of view, from their duty point of view, Yamadutas are right. Seeing from the karma and akarma, good karma and bad karma, they're right. Yamadutas, Ajamil did wrong, and therefore, as they were taught, they are supposed to be punished. You can't bribe the Yamadutas. They're precise in awarding the punishment. But unfortunately, they forgot to understand the higher realities. Just like when we say mukti is condemned. Kaivalyam narakayate. From which point of view? Kaivalyam narakayate, not from the kaivalya itself. From the devotional service point of view. When we see from the higher realms, then the lower realm, they become wrong. But when you see from their point of view only, they are not wrong. Speaking truth is not wrong. Yudhishthira Maharaj's such stubbornness to speak truth was not wrong. But when he was asked to practice the higher principle, that was wrong. We were discussing this, that you know, material sense gratification leads to sinful activities. Or the material sense gratification itself is a sinful act. Right. So when we perform sinful activity, that creates a big covering. It accumulates dirt and keeps us away from Krishna. So therefore, Shastras recommend, even the Sadhana Bhakti recommends, that we practice purity. We avoid contamination. So contamination is bad. That's a contamination. But when you are stuck to the purity only, then purity is also contamination. When you are only talking about purity, and then you avoid all impure things, like we were discussing, like anything which is pure, you know, it repulses impurity. Anyone who is pure, he can't stand impurity. He can't stand impure person. Therefore, the whole Varnashram system, the Brahmanas, because of their purity, they could not stand impurity. That was natural characteristic, inbuilt characteristic. That if you see something impure, you avoid it. If you see impure people, you avoid them. That is natural. But unfortunately, as we will read in the future verses by Yamadutas, good and bad, both are contamination. And because of that purity, what happened with the Brahmana cult? That they became so hard-hearted. And that purity became greater contamination. When you have pride of purity, that is a greater contamination. So what is Vaishnavism? Vaishnavism is beyond purity and impurity. And that Yamadutas, they could not recognize. They were not as deeper as Lord Yamaraj. And therefore Yamaraj corrects them. He said, you made a mistake. You know, he chanted Hare Krishna, he chanted the holy name of the Lord, and then he instructed them. Further instructions were given that whenever you hear holy name, never go close to them. So therefore, the apparent right or wrong, they were right in that. But when they started judging Ajamil based upon the apparent reason, they were wrong. And Vishnu Dutas were talking from a deeper understanding. Again, if you read the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, the demigods' prayers, when Hiranyakashipu was being killed, all the demigods offer their prayers based upon their need of the Lord in their lives. You know, Brahmaji, Shivji, Indra, they talk according to their requirement. But what does the Vishnudut speak? He said, my dear Lord, it was your parshad. Hiranyakashipu was your own man. You know, you arranged all these things and that is your wonderful activity. So they were glorifying Hiranyakashipu. They were glorifying Lord Vishnu. They were glorifying Lord Vishnu's doing to Hiranyakashipu, which demigods could not. Demigods only glorified Lord Vishnu. And they condemned. Yes, this wretched has been killed now. Very good. And they are right. But Vishnudus are much higher in their understanding. So therefore, when you see from an apparent point of view, that is right. But Vaishnava cult, Vaishnavism talks about not seeing good and bad of this world. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when this British governor was supposed to come for the inauguration of Gaudiya Math, one of the first major temples, you know, very contradictory for a normal person to understand, which no devotee should ever dare to imitate. You know, because the Britishers were coming and naturally they were, you know, wanting to eat beef. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, gave that kind of facility for them. And one devotee, he said, Gurudev, he said, what are you doing? He said, you know, this will create big, you know, bad name to our society. They will create contamination in the holy land of Mayapur. And what did Saraswati Thakur said? He said, I have decided this many lifetime back to preach Krishna consciousness. I'm willing to compromise so-called purity and impurities. He said, our concern is internal purity, which will give what? Compassion. Srila Prabhupada, when he was going to West, he said, if nobody comes to me, then I will open an inn. I will open a restaurant and I will serve them beef. And while they are eating beef, I will teach them Krishna conscious philosophy. And by hearing Krishna consciousness, they will give all that up. No, to make that kind of commitment, you need great conviction in the process of Vaishnavism. Even as a Vaishnavas, we still lie, we still fall in that category. And we need to. Because if you try to imitate the great souls, if you serve the meat, along with the people who are eating the cow's meat, we'll all go to hell. Because our preaching is, you know, for our own prestige. So therefore, we cannot be the instrument of compassion. We can be the instrument of the instrument of the instrument of the compassion of great devotees of the Lord. They can take that risk. So Yamadutas, they are doing right. And that's has been explained. But when they are judged from the higher perspective, from the Vaishnava perspective, they fall. They make mistake. And that's how they are being judged. And therefore, as a Vaishnava, they are following a great Vaishnava, Yamaraj. So it was required for them to understand this principle. They were not following ordinary leader. They were following the highest leader, Yamaraj, who exhibits greatest compassion. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing commentary based upon the context. You can't take only that part and say that, oh, see, just Prabhupada is saying that. Here, Prabhupada is appreciating the Yamadutas also. He said, they spoke with great clarity. Quoting Lord Narayan, everything is coming from Lord Narayan. Does it make sense?
If we say that, how do we resolve this again conflict? That if they are right, so should they go ahead now in the future and keep punishing those people who have been chanting the holy names of the Lord? Now that's the next question which will
come. Therefore they are precisely told by Yamaraj, you don't go wherever people are chanting Hare Krishna. They've been specifically told so that impression will stay there for the rest of the eternity as long as they are Yamadutas working for Yamaraj. They would never do that. Therefore, we see, even in Kali Yuga, when we don't even chant Shuddha name, even though we are so, at least Ajamil, when he was chanting Narayan, he only chanted Narayan. But even though we are consciously told to chant Hare Krishna, within that Hare Krishna, so many things are there, right? While we are chanting Hare Krishna, we know that is Krishna's sweet holy name. In that Hare Krishna, we have so many background. This devotee did this to me. I have to do these things. I have got this service to do. So that Hare Krishna is flavored with not love. It is flavored with so many background. But even that Hare Krishna is saving us. It is not inviting Yamadutas. Like Jananyas Prabhu said, even those who did not practice proper sadhana bhakti, some devotional service they rendered, many devotees, when they are quitting their body, you know, what do you see? What experience these devotees have? They are smiling. You know, they are saying, like this boy we discussed, young boy, 21-year-old, never came in touch with devotees, never saw devotees, simply on the telephone, even that devotee whom he talked to, that was a new brand, young devotee. But by hearing Hare Krishna, looking at Panchatattva, he had never seen in his life Panchatattva, waving his father, okay, bye-bye. When do you say bye-bye? Where you have got higher prospects. Casually saying, and then looking at Lord Chaitanya, smiling, living his body, hearing the holy name of the Lord. That is not Shuddhanam. That is not even, I don't know what name it is. But he didn't attract the attention of the Swargavasis and neither the Yamavasis. Naturally attracted the attention of the Vaikunthavasis. We'll stop here. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.